Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
And so it's a great privilege for us as a church to hear from the mother of my kids. Would you please give a big hand to Chrissy as she comes?
Tonight. Oh, we got quite a few out. So good. Have you had a nice day, mums? Yeah. Good. Young people, have you spoiled your mums? Yeah. I'm nailing you. You've still got a few hours. No, I love what Gareth said actually this evening about honour. It's a really important principle. Young people, get under the principle of honour. The scriptures tell you to obey and honour your parents, and that it will unlock promises in your own life because it's the way God instructs us to do it, right? So you still got time. Make sure you love on mum when you get home tonight. So good, so good. I went out for dinner last night and had myself at the Fremantle Markets a Levi's organic donut with blackberry jam. And if you've never had one of those things, you need to have one of those things. And the best thing was that because it's Mother's Day weekend, I only had to give away two bites. Like only two bites. The rest of it was mine. And I said to Ken, you are lucky. I'm a cheap date. I don't need diamonds. Just give me donuts, coffee, and I'm a happy gal. And do I have any mums with me? Yeah, just a donut and a coffee, I'm happy. So good. Hey, before we get into it tonight, I just want to, as we do every single year, I just really want to acknowledge anybody in the room, anyone at all in the room for whom Mother's Day might be a hard day for you. You know, there's just so many reasons in life. Let's face it, we don't all have the Hallmark card version of life and home life and that sort of thing. And there's so many reasons, be it, you know, conflict or breakdown in relationships or grief or loss or tragedy or fertility issues. There's so many reasons why the celebration of mothering could present just a real difficult, heart-wrenching time for you. And if you fall into that category tonight, I just want you to know we see you, you know, and we just acknowledge and we want to provide care to the best degree that we can for your situation. And it's certainly our prayer for you that as you've been brave enough to come to church tonight, that you just feel those loving arms of God surrounding you. You know, more than what any human can do, God's love for you in that place, we believe will touch you tonight. Amen. 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 I don't know if you've been around Nations Church for previous Mother's Days, but being the pastor's wife, I always get the preaching gig. You know, I was saying to the morning congregations this morning, I was like, you know, whilst all you mothers, like no resentment at all, are lying in bed with your tea and toast, I'm stressing out. And pastor's wives all over the nation are stressing out. So next Mother's Day, you know, do your pastor's wife a favor and just give her a pat on the back or something and bless her and say, thanks for taking one for the team. Thanks for taking one for the team. But I've adopted a little bit of a tradition. So the last few Mother's Days here at church, I've taken the liberty of writing a special Mother's Day edition of a particular passage of Scripture. I thought I'd keep that tradition going with a Mother's Day edition of the 23rd Psalm. You know, the 23rd Psalm like you have never heard it before. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is how it goes. It says, Mum is my shepherd. She pretty much does everything for me. She makes me lie down when it's bedtime. She leads me back to bed after my fifth glass of water. She loves my frustrating little soul. She guides me down paths to school morning after morning. Sometimes we're late. Sometimes I'm screaming, but she does it for education's sake. Even though I go to the doctors for my needles, I will not fear. Mum's cuddles are with me. Her iPhone and her chupa chups, they comfort me. Oh, the mum said, thank God for iPhones in waiting rooms particularly. She prepares a table for me night after night after night after night after night after stinking night. She feeds my mouth with vegetables. I grow big and strong. Surely mum will save my butt all the days of my life. And all the young adults said, amen. And I will hopefully not dwell in her house forever. And all the parents say, amen. That's a bit of fun. Obviously, I've taken a great liberty with one of the most sacred passages of all time. But I do so to make a point. I do so to make a point that as mums or even as parents, we're kind of like shepherds of our families. We're shepherds of our families. If you go to the dictionary and look up the definition of what is a shepherd, you will find the literal definition, one who tends and guards sheep. But the definition extends beyond a literal definition to a metaphorical definition that a shepherd is any person who protects or guides or watches over another person or a group of people. I don't know about you, it sounds a whole lot like a mum. From the moment our children come out into the world pink and screaming, we just get busy. We get busy protecting them. We get busy providing for them. We get busy just guiding them. And we watch over these little lives that God entrusts to us. We're like the shepherd of our family. And the sense of protection that you have for your firstborn baby is just crazy. Isn't that right, mums? That sense of protection. I remember when Jensen was maybe 3 or 4 days old. Jensen doesn't know I'm going to tell you this story. Sorry in advance, son. Yeah. And if you can believe it, he was only 5'9", 2.5 kilos. Now he's 6 foot, which is crazy. But at that time, he was really, really small. And I was lying in the hospital bed, and I was just cradling him. And the movie Finding Nemo came on the hospital TV. And if you're familiar with the movie Finding Nemo, there's this scene where Nemo, the baby fish, gets kidnapped off the reef by a scuba diver, and his father goes into absolute meltdown mode. His father, Marlon, is like, Nemo, Nemo. And I'm there cradling Jensen in my hospital bed in floods of tears. And it's not, and I don't take his baby. I don't take his baby. I know it was a bit of a severe reaction. It could have had something to do with the drugs that I was on, but that's all right. That's all right. Hospital drugs. Moving on. It's true. It is true. That we're like shepherds of our families. We're always thinking about protecting them. We're always thinking about providing and guiding them. Now, the actual 23rd Psalm, the real one, it was written by David. It was written in the scriptures by David, and he wrote it later on in his life when he was the king over Israel. And it's very interesting that David wrote this psalm because shepherding as a concept was something that he knew incredibly well. We know that when he was young, he actually was a literal shepherd. He guarded and tended his father's sheep. But as he grew, he became a husband, and I think he fathered 20 children, and he became king over an entire nation, the nation of Israel. And in that position as king, they actually called him the shepherd of Israel. So whether he was shepherding literally with sheep or shepherding, that just came to me, shepherding metaphorically over a nation or over his family, David was an expert shepherd. And it's from that place of deeply understanding what it is to be a shepherd that he writes the 23rd Psalm. We're going to read it. I'm going to read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of... Who says yea when they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? What's with that? Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death... I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm. What a stunning psalm. And even more stunning when you think about, here we have the great shepherd of Israel, but he's telling us about one who shepherds him. Yep. Like he was a shepherd, but he had a shepherd. Yeah. He was this expert shepherd, but then there was this space, this kind of Psalm 23 space, this space that's the context of his relationship with God. And in that space, he wasn't a shepherd, he was just a sheep. David, he spent his days knowing what it was like to protect others and provide for his family and guide even a nation. And he carried all of that responsibility. He carried it day by day by day, as many of you do carry responsibility all of the time. But he knew how to come to this place before his shepherd, where he knew that the shepherd protects me. The shepherd provides for me. The shepherd, my good shepherd, he guides me. And I think that the reason that David was Israel's greatest king and the great shepherd of Israel was because he never forgot how to simply be a sheep. I think he did so much better leading them because he allowed his God to lead him. And it's the same. The same is true of us in the context of our family life. We do so much better stewarding our family, stewarding them, when we allow him to steward us. We do better leading them when we allow him to lead us. We do better loving them when we allow him to love us. Those mums in the video that we watched earlier, they referenced that, didn't they? They talked about his leading them as they led their little ones. I think one even said, I just don't know what people do without Jesus. It's true that we carry this role of shepherd, protecting, providing, guiding, but we must never forget that we have a shepherd. Right. See, Jesus calls himself in the book of John in chapter 10. He says this, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. If you're here tonight, whoever you are, don't switch off if you're not a mom or a dad in the place tonight. You can get so much out of this word for yourself tonight. The Spirit will speak to you if you've got ears to hear. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Whoever you are, you must never forget that you have a shepherd. He is a good shepherd, and his name is Jesus. As a mum or a dad or a parent with faith in Christ, it's never noble to graduate to a place of self-sufficiency. It's never noble for any of us who follow Christ to graduate to a place where suddenly we feel we've got a handle on everything. Suddenly we feel like we can do everything on our own. We were created to be shepherded. We were created to come before him, come before the good shepherd, and receive his protection of us and receive his provision and his guidance. Yes, we're shepherds, but in the presence of the Lord, the posture we're supposed to take is just one of a sheep. To just come and be a sheep. Are you a sheep here tonight? How weird would that be if you just took it out of context and be like, what kind of weirdo church is this? Anyhow, it's Nations Church if you're on the podcast. Follow the metaphor with me. It's actually not very complimentary to be called a sheep. You know, if people talk about sheep, one of the first things that they say is sheep are, you know, not very smart animals. But I've actually decided that I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being a not very smart sheep, because there are some moments in my life particularly in my mothering, that have me feeling like I don't have a clue. You know, just moments where I just feel so out of my depth. And I'm pretty sure that I know I'm not the only one, because I talk to so many of you. Moments in life where you just don't know your next move. I've spoken to so many mums and dads who have lamented to me, and they've just been like, just these kids, I just wish they came with an instruction manual. You know, like, I'm an educated person, I got a degree, I can handle things, I can get things done, I meet deadlines, but this kid, I mean, all kinds of useless. Like, I don't know what to do with this child. That's so true, you know, shepherding our families has us in these moments where we maybe don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. You know, what about when you're exhausted? What about when you're just physically exhausted? What about when emotionally you've got nothing left in the tank? Spiritually, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. You come to the end of yourself. And then there's moments in life where life's just hard. Life's just painful. It's painful. There's conflict and different things going on, you know, and you can be so tempted to feel like you're doing a rubbish job. Yeah, I was throwing a rubbish job at protecting, a rubbish job at providing, a rubbish job at guiding, and all of these things. And I just want to say to you tonight that when you feel those things, and you probably do, but when you feel them, they should serve to you as a reminder sheep that you need to go back to your shepherd. They should serve as a reminder that sheep actually need a shepherd. See, it's characteristic of sheep to mostly be concerned with the grass at their feet. But good shepherds are concerned with pastures. You know, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the issues of life. You know, just what's going on in our life right now. It's like the grass at our feet. And you're thinking about the future. You want to reach for more. You feel like you should be doing this more or that more or the other more, but it's so hard to move past. You grapple with it because you just can't get past the grass at your feet. But the good shepherd is concerned with greener pastures. And the good news is that when you're leading a shepherded life, you need only keep your eyes on him. You got to trust that he's going to lead you to the place you need to go, and he is going to show you the thing that you need to do. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, I just love this. It's in red letters. If you've got a red letter edition of your Bible, this is the good shepherd, and he is speaking to you. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This just so blessed me when I saw it with fresh eyes. I'm hearing the words of Jesus going, each day has enough troubles of its own. You know what I hear him say? I hear him say, Chrissy, I get it. I hear him say, sweetheart, I understand. You know, my daughter, I get it. I get that it's challenging. I get that it's hard. I get that some days are beyond overwhelming all by themselves, in and of themselves. But there's more. Wait, there's more. You know, you don't have to worry. You just need to keep your eyes on me. I'm happy for you, my sheep, to just keep focusing on the grass at your feet. Let me take care of the greener pastures. Let me take care of those pastures. Hebrews chapter 4, in the Message version, verse 14 to 16, again, it's talking about our good shepherd. It's just stunning words, the way Peterson puts it. He says, we don't have a priest, that's talking about Jesus, who is out of touch with our reality. I need to say that to you again tonight. You don't have a Jesus who's out of touch with your reality. He knows what you're going through tonight, whoever you are. He's been through weakness. He's been through testing. He's experienced it all, everything but the sin. So let's walk right up to our good shepherd. Walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. He Isn't it beautiful? You know, whatever your reality might be, whatever might be the grass at your feet, the good shepherd, he understands. He's been through it all, but it doesn't stop there. He has what you need. The very thing that you need, he has it. The green pastures that you need, he's got them. The still waters, the restoration, the table before in the presence of your enemy laid out. He has got it all. And all that is required of us is that we would simply follow the shepherd. See, the key to living a shepherded life is that we would determine and be prepared to follow him. The shepherd is not that much good for anything if the sheep refuse to follow. You know, we understand this in our family lives, parents, when you give, particularly your older children, when you try and give them guidance, you know, like how about putting some breaks in your screen time? You know, how about getting off the Xbox or what have you? How about, you know, doing study tips like this and that and the other? And unless that child leans into that wisdom, leans into that guidance, then it's a bit of a waste of breath. It's a bit of a waste of energy. Any parents know what I'm talking about? You know, it's the first verse of the 23rd Psalm that unlocks the power and the promises of the rest of the psalm. You know, all of that provision and all of that protection and all of that guidance is actually unlocked by being able to truthfully say, the Lord is actually my personal shepherd. The Lord is my personal shepherd. And in that place of I will follow him, I've got my eyes on him, I'm leaning into his direction, it's in that place of following that we unlock a truth. I shall not want. I shall not want. It's that blessing is found in the following. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life is verse number 6. And it's such a beautiful kind of phrase, isn't it? Surely goodness and mercy. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants goodness and mercy to follow them all the days of their lives. But the question is, are we prepared to follow him? Because that's only unlocked in the following. That sort of promise and provision is only unlocked as we follow him. There's a really interesting passage in the book of Matthew, and it documents a very brief little interaction between Jesus and one of his disciples. And it's just very fleeting. If you're reading the gospel, you can just almost skip over it. It's just a couple of lines. But the context of the whole passage is about following Jesus and about what it costs to follow Jesus. And it says this, follow with me in Matthew 8, 21. It says, then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. What's going on here? It's an interesting little passage, little dialogue. And at first glance, it seems like Jesus is being very uncompassionate. Because it seems like this is quite a reasonable request, you know. It's like he's saying, like, Lord, before I follow you, kind of like I want to follow you, but before I do that, I just have to go and do this important thing. You know, I just have to bury my father. I just have to sort out the drama. I just have to go and deal with the issues. I just have to go and pay for the funeral, confront the thing, and so it goes. And Jesus essentially says, no. He essentially says, let that stuff take care of its own self. Your job as a disciple is just to follow me. And it seems so uncompassionate. It seems like Jesus was lacking in compassion and lacking in love. But we know about Jesus that he never lacked compassion. He never lacked love. He's the good shepherd. So what's going on? Why did Jesus deny this seemingly reasonable request? And I think it's because Jesus knew that everything this disciple really needed, not just what he thought he needed, but everything that this disciple really needed would be found in the following. If it was healing he needed, it was going to be found in the following. If it was closure he needed, it was going to be found in following Jesus. If it was fresh direction or fresh vision that he needed, it was going to be found in following Jesus. If it was affirmation or validation that he needed, if that's what you need, it's going to be found in the following Jesus. See, Jesus knew that everything we need as disciples would be found in the following. I think mums are really guilty of the language of, I'll just do. And it's not exclusively mums, but that this language of, I'll just do this, and I'll just do that, and I just need to sort this thing out, and I just need to read this blog, and I just need to research this stuff, and I just need to sort this one out, and all this sort of language. And in it all, the life is pulling us in an opposite direction from the shepherd. It's pulling us away from the shepherd. But I know from personal experience, it is a trap. It is such a trap. This constant pull to just do and just do and just do, whilst all the time the shepherd is saying, hey, just come and be. Just come and be with me. Just come and be with me. You remember Mary and Martha? And that account where Jesus had dinner at their home. And the two sisters, they took very different approaches. And Martha was the one running around like a crazy person, wasn't she? She was like, oh, I'll just do this, and I'll just do that, and I'll just sort the hospitality, and I'll just prepare the meal, and I'll just, and I'll just, and I'll just. But Mary, she took a different posture. She came and she sat at the feet of Jesus. And she just rested in his presence. She just sat with him. She allowed herself to just be with him. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things. He says, Mary has chosen a better way. She has chosen a better thing. It's not like, Martha, you're bad. But Mary has chosen a better way, and it will not be taken from her. Whoever you are here this evening, whatever you're going through this evening, you got to know every single thing you need is going to be found in following Jesus. If it's in your personal life, it'll be found in the following. If it's in your work life, it'll be found in the following. If it's in your family life, it'll be found in the following. If it's in your marriage, it'll be found in the following. All the wisdom that you need, all the guidance that you need, the answers that you need, the direction and the provision and the protection that you need, it'll all be found for you in the following. And if you're a parent here this evening, the more you allow yourself to go to that place, the more you remember that you are a shepherd, but you're also just a sheep, the more you allow him to shepherd you, the better you're going to do at shepherding them. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you all stand to your feet all over this building? You're not alone, whoever you are tonight. You're not alone. You've got a good shepherd, and his name is Jesus. You can close your eyes all over this building. Such a touch of the Spirit of God here tonight. Such a beautiful atmosphere. And in a moment, we're going to pray for our mums. Like, we've got to really pray for them and love on them and bless them with a little keepsake from tonight. But before we do that, I just want to address anybody in the room. I know on a day like Mother's Day, you might have been invited with a family member. You might have come with a friend. You might just be here for the first time, or maybe you come all the time. But I want to address you in the room tonight if you're not a Christian. You don't call yourself a follower of Jesus. You've never prayed a prayer to invite him to be a part of your life, to be Lord of your life. Or maybe you did a really long time ago, but you know, in the privacy and the honesty of your own heart tonight, that you're not walking as a follower of Jesus. And it's you that I'm speaking to tonight. It's you that I want to address. You know, becoming a Christian is not about giving some mental assent to a deity. You know, I believe that there's a God. That's not what this is about. Becoming a Christian is making a decision to follow Jesus with your life. That's what Christian means. I mean, follower of Christ. And he is a good shepherd, as you've heard me speak tonight. He is not some distant God that's waiting to, you know, punish you or some such for something that you did once. He's a loving, loving shepherd. And he has the best intentions for your life. He actually laid down his life for you. He laid it down on a cross and he rose again so that you could walk in a real and a living relationship with a God who loves you. But he is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way into our lives. We need to accept him. We need to receive him. This becoming a Christian thing, it starts by believing in Jesus, believing he is who he says he is, and he did what he said he did, and then deciding that I want to receive him into my life. So many people here tonight have been transformed by the love that I speak of, have had their lives literally go from night to day by his love. And I just wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight and you're here and you're saying, Chrissy, I want to take that step. I believe in what you're saying. I believe in Jesus and I want to receive him into my life. It would be my great honor to pray with you tonight, to lead you in a simple and powerful prayer of faith that will mark the beginning of your relationship with him. So with nobody looking around right now, if that's you this evening and you're saying, yeah, I'm ready to pray that prayer. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Without anybody looking around, can you just raise your hand for me so I know who I'm praying for tonight? All over this building. I see that hand. That's incredible. That's incredible. Is there anybody else going to join this man tonight saying, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to receive him into my life. I want to be led and protected and provided for by the good shepherd you speak of. I want that relationship with the God who loves me. Come on, who's going to join this man all over this building tonight? Looking for your hand. I would be so honored to pray with you tonight. It takes humility to admit that, hey, maybe you're not doing such a good job all on your own. Maybe you need to return to the God who created you, who loves you. Come on, all over this building. All over this building, who am I praying for? Come on, Christians, you can pray with me. It's a big decision. It's a big moment. That's great. Hey, this is what's going to happen next. We're going to pray a prayer together. The whole church family is going to join this one man who's made this decision tonight. Because we're here, we're a family, and we're supportive of that decision. And I'll say a line and you repeat after me. But for that man who just believe in your heart, the scriptures say, and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Come on, are you ready, church? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came. He died. He rose again so that I could have a new life in relationship with you. Forgive me my sin. Wipe the slate clean. Come into my life. I want to live with you. I want to live for you as a Christian. All the days of my life, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, can we praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. So cool, so cool.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.